angin berbunyinya dan seperti lagu cintaku tulis tentangmu. Kita bikin romantis, bikin paling romantis
sambil bermain mata turun ke hati, hatinya jatuh.
Kita bikin romantis yang paling romantis
sambil gandeng tangan, hati pelukan di angan jatuh.
Lihat ke langit bintang yang berkedip-kedip, semua merasa sepenuh hati ada di sana. Dari mata yang selalu berkedip-kedip, terlalu senang, terlanjur sayang. Harus aku katakan, kita bikin romantis, bikin paling romantis, bergandeng tangan, bermain angan yang syahdu. Kita bikin romantis yang paling romantis
sambil gandeng tangan, hati pelukan.
Kita bikin romantis.
Deputy Minister of Environment Dias Hendro Priyono has stressed the need to address problems related to waste management to preserve the appeal of destinations that attract both domestic and foreign travelers. During the signing of a Memorandum of Understanding between the Ministry of Environment and the Ministry of Tourism here on Wednesday, he noted that waste management remains an issue in Indonesia, including in priority tourist destinations such as Lake Toba. He affirmed that the Ministry of Environment is ready to continue supporting waste management efforts, particularly in tourist destinations. Culture can be an effective tool to strengthen diplomacy and international relations, Cultural Affairs Minister Fadli Zon has said. According to Fadli Zon, Indonesia understands the role of culture in securing goal recognition and is committed to leveraging it to establish diplomatic relations. He noted that the nation's extensive cultural heritage is an asset to gain global attention. Hence, cultural diplomacy is a method, a medium or a path for all nations to navigate today's rapidly changing global landscape, he opined. And that was the news.
sepatutnya. Mungkin di lain waktu kembali menyapa. Biarlah dunia sejenak sunyi. Setenang mungkin ku akan hadapi. Aku menari di bawah hujan, nyanyi dalam dingin pelukan. Putaran sang waktu akan lahir harapan, cerita yang baru. Biarlah semua sejenak sunyi. Setenang mungkin ku akan hadapi.
Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener going to culinary tour to Banyuwangi, East Java, you should come to Wit-Witan Market. The traditional market, which becomes one of favorite places in Banyuwangi, is located at Alas Malang Village, Singojuru Sub-District, Banyuwangi. The market opens every Sunday morning, starting from 6 until 10 a.m. local time. Under the shady tree, you can enjoy various traditional culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as Geseng Bangsong. Geseng Bangsong is a typical food of Wijenan Kidul Hamlet, Singolatren Village, Singojuru Sub-District. Geseng Bangsong is a special menu and rarely found, which is made from duck meat as its main ingredient and wadung yang leaf that adds a unique sour taste. Wadung tree is many found and growing wild at the village. Besides giving sour taste, wadung leaf is also used to remove fishy smell from duck meat. The duck must be the big one, so it is usually used male duck for cooking geseng bangso. Besides wudong yang leaf, this culinary is also cooked with other spices such as cayenne, onion, and garlic. Geseng bangsong has savory and spicy taste. Spicy taste mixed with sour taste certainly produce delicious food. In Banyuwangi, the food is usually served when Islamic events being conducted, such as the birth of Prophet Muhammad, Eid al-Fitr, and Eid Adha. But now, geseng bangsong can be found at Witwitan Market every Sunday. The price of the food is affordable, which is around 20,000 rupiah to 25,000 rupiah per portion. In addition to taste geseng bangsong, you can also enjoy other typical culinaries of Banyuwangi such as rawon alas, sego cawu, as well as traditional snack such as tiwul and gatot, which is made from cassava. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. I'm Purisa Fridella. Thank you for listening.
Hello, listener. We're going to play a song titled Symphony Yang Indah, or The Beautiful Symphony. This song was created by Robby Lea and first popularized by Bob Tutupoli. This song is included in a compilation album titled Festival Lagu Populer Indonesia 1980. Symphony Yang Indah has a deep meaning about love and being together. This song describes the feeling of beautiful and harmonious love and that the power of love can overcome obstacles and bring happiness. This song is also about sacrifice and loyalty in a relationship. In 2012, Wons came with his version of Symphony Yang Indah accompanied by modern music without losing the soul of the original version. Listener, this is Once with Symphony Yang Indah. Happy listening.
Sebuah simfoni, kata hati disadari, merasuk sukma kalbuku, dalam hati ada satu. Malam sendirian di pulau.
listener, that was Once with Symphony Yang Indah, or the Beautiful Symphony. So, for listeners, speaking of beautiful, what else is more beautiful than the celebration of the 80th anniversary of Indonesia? And for listener, in this beautiful day, I can see here from Mataram. It is such a clear skies over there. But before I go and ask my colleagues from Mataram, I would like to say that in the context of the 80th Independence Day, Mataram City held a winged trash Kite Festival made from recycled materials and orchestra concert Symphony Mentaram. Not Symphony Yang Indah, but Symphony Mentaram. So for a listener, without any further ado, let's move on to my friend in RRI Mataram with Yaning. Yaning, how are you? And can you tell us what is going on over there? I'm sorry, Yaning. It seems that your Zoom is still muted. Can you unmute the Zoom, maybe? Yeah, for a listener, in this special Independence Day, it seems like we have lots of things going on. Not just independence, but also a beautiful, beautiful festival that are going to be held. Just like in Jakarta, there's been many things, like many spots on the road that's been closed just for the festival itself. So, for listener, without any further ado, this festival, Symphony in Mentaram, let's go back to Yaning. Yaning, how are you? Okay, for listener, it seems that there's been quite the technical issues, like internet issues over there. So, for listeners, speaking of the 80th Independence, in my time, I really like to play a competition when I was young. I used to play with the balap kelereng. Do you know balap kelereng? Yeah, it seems really fun, where you put a stone shiny rock, and then you bite a spoon on you, and then the rock is put it on the spoon. And the way how you need to win is like you need to balance everything while moving as fast as you can. It's like a thing that we do as an adult also, where we need to keep everything in balance. And of course, in everything in balance is need to be fast. So that kind of competition really makes me think actually on how I graduate and do my life as an adult. So boy listener, if you have something in common, maybe you can send it to us. There are social media and Facebook account, The Voice of Indonesia. Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. Instagram and TikTok in VOI _official. And VOI listener, speaking of that, we also have our email address in voilisteners@gmail.com and WhatsApp number in +62 821 2381 2130. So VOI listener, as I can see here, the Mataram seems quite beautiful, and I guess that we need to move back to Yaning with RRI Mataram. How are you? Okay, Yaning, I'm sorry. The Zoom is still muted. Maybe there's the button that you need to press. Okay, can you hear you? Nice. Okay, Yaning, can you tell us what is going on in Mataram?
Okay, now I'm at Long Balo Recreation Park, where one of the events to celebrate Indonesia's Independence Day will be held. The Winged Trash Kite Festival will be held on August 16, 2025. So, as the title suggests, the kites in the competition are made from recycled materials such as plastic, bamboo, paper, and clothes, and etc. So this competition is open to public and is open to all members of public, even though they are not participating for the competition. More than 1,000 people are expected to attend, and the festival will be featuring reggae music performance by local reggae artists and dozens of small and medium enterprises from Mataram. The event will begin at 4 p.m. So if you're interested, you can come to Long Balok Recreation Park. And in addition, on August 22nd, the Namonestare Orchestra will hold a concert entitled Mentaram Symphony at Taman Budaya West Nusa Tenggara. Collaboration between the Namonestare Orchestra with 26 members, the combined choir group from Mataram City with 30 members, theater and dance with 30 members from Kasuma Studio, and the ADP Da Payoni Studio, 24 miracle dancers, and several vocalists such as Bang Latif, Trio Lunchbox, Wanda Gibson, Carol, and Lofea. All songs are arranged by Kevin Leon and conducted by Kevin Leon himself. And in the Mentaram Symphony Concert, there will be two divided sessions. The first one is national session, and the second one is entertainment session. The message in this concert wants to convey to the foster and strengthen the sense of nationalism, especially for the younger generation, provide entertainment in a different atmosphere, show the potential of the younger generation in West Nusa Tenggara to the world that we are able to compete, and all performers are the best youth of West Nusa Tenggara across generations. These events are supported by Mataram City Government and related stakeholders. That's all from Yaning and a special reporting from Long Balok Recreation Park, Mataram. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, Yaning. So maybe one question for you. Are you going to spend your time, if you're free time, to going to that concert and maybe enjoy the vibe that is going on over there?
Okay, for the kite festival, maybe I will join it because it's near to my house. So I will be happy to join this event.
Okay, thank you so much, Yaning, and I hope you enjoy your event and enjoy your time over there and have a good time. And so thank you so much, Voice Listener, for accompanying me and Yaning with the report from Mataram itself. And of course, let us enjoy the festival season, not the festival season, but the festival day of the Independence Day of Indonesia. Stay tuned with us for more information about what is going on before the 18th anniversary of Indonesia, only on Voice of Indonesia and RRA across Indonesia. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Hujan, yeah.
of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Kasolami is a unique and typical food from Southeast Sulawesi, specifically in Buton, Muna, and Wakatobi areas. Kasolami is generally shaped like a tumpeng or cone and is yellowish white. Cassava, which is widely grown in the Sulawesi archipelago, is the main ingredient of kasolami. Firstly, the cassava is washed, peeled, and shredded or milled using a machine. Then the grated cassava is put in a sack or cloth to be compacted. This compaction is to remove water content by being crushed or pressed using a tool made of wood or large stones. Then leave it for 1 to 3 hours until the water is completely dry. The solid is pure white. Next, the solid is wrapped in thick or banana leaves and tied. The solid is called KGP. To make kasolami, initially KGP is kneaded by hand until it looks like flour. Then the ingredients are put into a very unique steaming cone. This tool is made from woven coconut leaves. To steam the KGP, they use a pot made of clay similar to a jar. The cone filled with KGP flour is put into the mouth of the pot. Then it is cooked with medium heat and medium volume of water in a pot for about 15 minutes. One kasolami is generally made with a diameter of 10 cm and a height of 10 cm and weighs approximately 500 to 700 grams. Usually, a person can spend 1 to 2 kasolamis. Kasolami is sometimes served as a substitute for rice because it is often served along with vegetables and side dishes of various processed fish, such as grilled fish, fried fish, and salted fish. Kasolami is the initial food in Buton's traditional events. Interestingly, kasolami is also often used as stocks for trips or souvenirs between fellow Buton residents. Kasolami can be eaten without side dishes, accompanied by a cup of hot tea in the afternoon. The distinctive taste of cassava and the sweet blend of tea will add to this culinary delight.
Voice listener, speaking of the 80th anniversary of Indonesia, the official theme for the 80th anniversary Indonesia Independence Day is Bersatu, Berdaulat, Rakyat Sejahtera, Indonesia Maju, or United Sovereign Prosperous People Advance Indonesia. And according to the facts, the logo and its specific design details are not yet quite available, but it is available, but the official launch was on July 23rd, 2025. However, it is expected to reflect the theme's core message of unity, sovereignty, prosperity, and advance for the nation. The logo will likely incorporate visual elements that represent these concepts, possibly with the number ET itself. It's like an infinite number that is upside down and with rich nation's history, culture, and natural beauty. So, Voice Listener, the facts you know more about Indonesia, and stay tuned with us for more information and entertainment only on Voice of Indonesia. After this, you will listen to a song from Tompi, Bawa Daku.
Perlu lama bagiku untuk jatuh cinta pada dirimu. Seolah tak ada ragu di dalam hatiku tentang dirimu. Sungguh indah ku nikmati warna-warna pelangi di matamu. Seolah ku terhanyut terbawa dalam mimpi.
Listener, do you know the selected logo was designed by Indonesian graphic designer Bram Patria Yoshugi, who successfully captured the theme of the 80th anniversary of Indonesia's independence, United and Sovereign Prosperous People Advance Indonesia. The design of the number 8 and 0 symbolizes unity and sovereignty, while the flowing lines represents people prosperity, together illustrating a vision of a forward-looking, progressive Indonesia. Every listener, to know more about the facts, stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, where you can tune in to our online streaming in voinews.id, shortwave in 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and our application in RRE Digital. So, stay tuned with us, and after this, you will listen to a feature entitled Finishi, only on Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Yang jaya di lautan.
Those who were victorious at the sea is the first millennium were the Indonesian people, the Malays, none of Chinese who sailed. It was only after South could no longer access the Silk Route by land that they looked for trade routes by sea. That was in the 11th or 12th century. Before that, no, there weren't Chinese who sailed. Aren't you afraid of 8 to 9 meter waves? He said that to me. I said that in Indonesia I've never seen waves of 9 meters. I want to see it. And he immediately shook hands with me. That's it, sir. That's it.
In Indonesia, I've never seen waves of 9 meters. So I want to see it. Langsung salam sama saya, Pak. Jadi oke, dia bilang.
Kabel silat pinisi itu sepertinya muncul pada abad ke-19, sekitarnya tahun 1830-an, 40-an.
Appeared around the 19th century in around 1830 to 40, and it refers to a type of sail that actually comes from Europe, which imitates the international term schooner catch or calf catch, which means a sail that is installed in the direction of the bow of the boat. It seems that these sails were first used in the western regions of the archipelago, such as Riau, Belitung, etc. Until the end of the 19th century, this type of sail was increasingly used towards the east. So the sail also arrived in Sulawesi, and here the sail was changed, which we know now as the Finisi sail.
Ke-19, jenis layar itu makin banyak digunakan, makin ke arah timur. Sehingga akhirnya, ide layarnya itu juga tiba di Sulawesi. Dan di sini pun layarnya diubah sedemikian rupa sehingga menjadi yang kita sekarang mengenali sebagai layar penisi.
Indonesian people are challenged to become more resilient in facing life at sea. One of the communities that is able to run a shipping system and build ships is the Bulukumba community. However, the term Finisi became known in the 1950s.
Istilah Finisi itu secara umum baru muncul dalam cetakan, koran, dan sebagainya pada tahun.
The term Finisi generally only appeared in printing like newspapers and so on in the early 50s of the 20th century. In 1960, the administration of the first Indonesian president Soekarno held a competition for boats to carry copra from Sulawesi to Jakarta. And in the newspaper, a question still arose about what Finisi boat is, because the term Finisi was not yet known to people at that time. Because in the fact, in the records of harbor master and so on, boats like that were still called palari. There was palari solompong, there was palari tongkong. The term Finisi started being known in the 80s, especially after the Finisi was brought to Vancouver. And there, the boats which were previously called palari were then called Finisi. So the term Finisi, which now we really take pride in, is actually a creation after the Finisi no longer existed.
Terutama setelah ada Finisi Nusantara yang dibawa ke Vancouver, dan di situ, di Singapura misalnya, Pulau-pulau yang sebelumnya dinamakan Pulau Ari itu mulai dinamakan Pinisi. Jadi istilah Pinisi yang sekarang ini begitu dibanggakan sebenarnya sesuatu ciptaan setelah yang namanya Pinisi itu sudah tidak ada lagi. Ini ingatan masyarakat tidak terlalu tepat. Ada cerita bahwa perahu yang seperti itu yang pertama kali dibangun di
Ara itu. People's memory are not very accurate, and there are stories that the first such boat in Ara was in 1900, but no one remembers who built it, for whom, and so on. And until World War II, in the Dutch newspaper and the harbor master reports and so on, all projects like they were recorded as Palari. So the use of the word Pinisi is something new, something that hasn't been around for too long, but with the motor and Indonesian sailing boats, all of that disappeared in the 70s. This is a memory that people are quite proud of. When Pinisi Nusantara was brought to Vancouver, and more travel companies from abroad ordered boats like that. The term Pinisi was brought back as a proud memory of boat builders and sailors from the archipelago. The use of the word Pinisi to generalize all types of boats is actually a deflation of Indonesia's boat manufacturing wealth, because in Indonesia there are hundreds of types of boats and they all have their own names.
Istilah Pinisi itu diangkat kembali sebagai suatu ya ingatan kebanggaan pembuat perahu dan pelayar dari Ponto Bahari itu. Penggunaan kata Pinisi untuk memukul rata semua jenis perahu itu sebenarnya suatu suatu deflasi kekayaan pembuatan perahu Indonesia, karena di Indonesia ada ratusan jenis perahu yang semua punya nama tersendiri.
Pinisi became known worldwide since its first expedition to Vancouver, Canada in 1986, where one of the crew members is still sailing today.
Mungkin dari awal, saya waktu itu yang saya cerita tadi, 85 dari tim.
At that time, from the start, I remember it was in 85 when my team entered Kalangan, and then I said I wanted to come to Canada. I hadn't applied it yet. Finally, after a long time, Mr. Felipe, a Frenchman who was watching us as a witness to who accepted the people, I said that you're going home, right? And at that time, many of others didn't come. I went first. So then he said, do you want to come to Canada? And I said, yes, sir. If you still need more people. Then he said, you're not afraid of waves 8 to 9 meter. He said, the same to me. Then I said, in Indonesia, I've never seen 9 meters wave. I wanted to see it. We immediately shook hands, so it was a deal. At that time, I was on the machine and also on the sail. There were also four people from Tanah Biru also come with me. I asked to this Navy man, how many meters are the waves? Oh, this is only 7 meters. How is the 10 meters one like? I said. Relying on two masts and 7 developed sails called Pinisi, the wind has been the main force for Indonesian sailors since the 12th century to sail to their destination.
Ya, kalau kita berlayar cuma main di layar aja.
If we sail, we just play with the sails according to the wind. Maybe there will be a change in the wind for several hours, like here yesterday. Sailing without wind for 2 hours could take one day because of the wind. Well, if you use an engine, you can calculate the speed and at what time we will arrive. Well, if we just play with the sails, we cannot predict when we will arrive.
Kapal Pinisi di Banyuwangi ini asalnya dari Arab, dulu pun Pak, Sulawesi Selatan.
The Spinisi ship was built originally from Arabulu, Kumbasak, Sulawesi. Starting from the year before independence in 1945, after independence, it already existed before. From generation to generation, we have been able to make this ship without any finished drawings. It has been passed down from our ancestors until now. We do it without any technical knowledge. It is just based on experience and it is recognized throughout the world.
Dan di segi pengalaman saja, nah, dia kuelen by seluruh dunia. Kalau dengan finishnya satu tahun lebih. Tapi kali ini kami bikin di pantai dia pantai Anjolosari.
With the Pinisi, it took more than a year, but this time we make it on the Losari Beach. It is the fastest one because in just 2 months and a half. Has been like this with two units with 25 people working. Yes, ironwood, BT wood, and teak wood. It only needs three types of wood in terms of its strength. In the sea, you can make just any kinds of wood. I used to have finishing made from BT wood, but the scarcity of BT wood forced me to use it only for the ship purpose. Now I cannot do it anymore. The deck is made of teak wood.
Sekarang tidak bisa lagi karena sudah berkurang sisa untuk patah tulang. Deknya ini kayu jati. Alhamdulillah, papangnya disusun satu-satu.
The shoots, the planks are arranged one by one. Then they go up here. After the body is finished, then the tusks are installed. Once the tusks are installed, the road is installed, the bottom is then the gutter, then the floor, then the room. The room has all the walls and partitions made. After this, it has been put on the hub. This is lowered, then the mast is made. The mast is then put on the hose rope. The mast rope, then the sail is put on. That's it.
Tali sering, tali tian, nampak belakang, baru pasang layarnya, begitu.
The system and calculation for making Finnish sailing ships have been known to people of Arab village Bulukumba since 19th century. However, according to a research conducted by German historian Horst Lippner, only 12 Lemo-Lemo people knew the shipbuilding system. The system is named Tatatalu.
Itu dari rumusnya begini. Kita ini ahli
That's the formula. So this is how we are ships experts, Wandi Talupi. The important thing is that we know the length, width, and height, that this is 6 meters, the length is 30 meters, the height is 3 meters. They keep installing it, and then it will be right when it hits 6 meters. Indeed, we already have experience in that aspect, without saying that it is balanced. It is already balanced because it is our technique, our experience, so that it is precise up to 6 meters without any writing about so many or so. Each one works, each one is an expert.
Ada satu hal dan itu intinya dari warisan dunianya itu, yaitu
there is one thing that is essence of world heritage, namely what we can call a formula for making it. Many people say that boats are made without drawings and so on, and that is actually not true. There is a formula that is not made into a drawing but made into various sizes which are recorded above the gorge. There are various bangli that are used with signs that determine the measurements, for example, the location of the pegs in the hull, the length of the planks, the location of the frame, and so on. Those who will still inherit this knowledge today are the descendants of the Lemo-Lemo people. It seems to have a formula called Tatatalu, which can Japan produce boats up to 14 meter long. PLM boats or whatever boats were called Pinisi in the 70s were much bigger. So there is an impression that the Ara people at some point in 1930s to 1950s created a new manufacturing formula called Kata Apa, which could produce larger boats.
Jadi ada kesan bahwa orang Arab pada suatu saat tahun 1930-an sampai 50-an menciptakan satu rumus pembuatan yang baru yang dinamakan Tata Apa yang bisa menghasilkan perahu yang lebih besar. Membangun suatu perahu itu adalah suatu hal yang sangat-sangat rumit. Secara populer, perahu layar itu diakui sebagai benda ciptaan manusia.
Building a boat is very, very complicated things. Popularly, the sailboat is recognized as the most complicated human creation that has existed before the Industrial Revolution in the 18th century. This means that throughout human history, nothing more complicated has been built than a sailboat. If we compare the parts of number of objects in this boat, whatever there is, as far as I know, is 100 times more than a cell phone. And they all have to function the same as cell phone. If you install one small part wrongly, the cell phone won't work. It's the same as if boat is installed incorrectly. One small part of the boat will not sail. And there is another point there. Boat is not something rectangular, but it created through a curve. The curve must be harmonious. If the curve is crooked, the boat will not sail. Maybe someone remembers in high school we are taught how to calculate the curve f from x, which is the most complicated, right? Maybe those who have gone through it have all said, well, this is very difficult, but the boat can only function if the curve is harmonious. The curve can be calculated in that way. So the knowledge to create curves has been going on in the archipelago for 1,000 years, and the way of conceptualizing curves is not much different from shipwrecks from the 10th century to boats built in the mid-20th century. These things are very complicated, so they are not for public consumption because they are too complicated. But in order to deepen them and make them something to be proud of, things like that should be made more public, put forward more to the general public so that they are not reduced to only Pinisi.
Cara mengkonsepkan kurva-kurva itu tidak jauh berbeda dari kapal-kapal karam yang dari abad ke-10 dengan perahu-perahu yang dibangun pada pertengahan abad ke-20. Hal-hal itu amat-amat rumit, sehingga bukan menjadi ini baru konsumsi halayak kerana, wah, memang terlalu rumit. Tetapi untuk apa ya, memperdalamnya dan menjadikannya sesuatu yang bisa dibanggakan. Hal-hal seperti itu semestinya memang lebih diumumkan, lebih dikedepankan kepada khalayak ramai supaya itu tidak direduksi atas Pinisi doang.
Thank you so much for listener for accompanying me in this 6-hour broadcast. But don't go anywhere, because after this, Voice of Indonesia will continue with the afternoon session with my friend Unika. So make sure to send your messages through our social media. There's Facebook account, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter account at VOI Indonesia, Instagram and TikTok in VOI_official. Also, there's an email address in voilisteners@gmail.com. Also, our WhatsApp number in +62 821 2381 2130. Thank you so much, VOI listener. My name is Ray, and stay tuned with us always in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, as Kempol Pleret.
is one of the legendary solo culinary delights because there are not many traders selling this culinary anymore. But you don't have to worry if you are already in Solo and want to taste this traditional culinary. Although it is a popular culinary delicacy in Solo, in certain places, there are still traders selling this escampol platter, such as in the Gede Market, Lawayan Market, and in the Manahan Field.